Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Chwaba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who doesn't have 20/20 vision, even in hindsight, Pete Chwaba.
Hey, Wisconsin. Welcome to Nightlight. Great to have you with me. The long weekend is finally over and we can talk about fun stuff again. I hope everybody had a good Father's Day. I hope wherever you're joining me from over our state that you're having a great day. I know the weather's a little crazy. But you know what? It was kind of a weird day yesterday. It was Father's Day. Obviously, there was some rain. And, you know, it's not that bad. I'm at the point where I expect there to be weird weather. You know, I mean, even 10 years ago, I was like, oh, it should be sunny. It's summer. And then I'd almost get depressed if it wasn't. I don't care now. As long as it's warm, I'm okay. I never go on picnics anymore because I'm not that kind of guy. So if it's rainy, I'll just go inside. And at least we're not getting snow. Conrad, did you hear about that? In Montana, there's a snowstorm.
I did not hear about that.
They're prepping for a snowstorm in June.
Yeah, that sucks.
The world is screwed. What can you do? You got to roll with it. So I don't know. But it's great to have you with me. Wherever you are in our awesome state, welcome to Nightlight. Conrad is here. How are you doing, Conrad? Did you have a good Father's Day?
I did. Well, I think my dad had a good day. I didn't actually see him because he's in Florida.
Yeah.
But they went golfing, stuff like that. So
okay.
Hopefully he had a good
Father's
day.
Yeah. We started off, I took a series of walks with my parents yesterday where we live. It's a good walking area. They came over for coffee and sweet rolls, and it's pretty mellow. My wife and my daughter got me a nice card and a gift. My wife always gets me gifts she wants me to have. She bought me 2 sweaters. It's summer, and I haven't worn a sweater since 1991. Apparently, she thinks it's time for me to develop a new fondness once again for sweaters. I actually did like one of them. I probably will keep one, but... I think she took back the other one. So it's not really my style. Do you wear sweaters?
No, I'm more of a sweatshirt guy.
Yeah.
Don't wear sweaters.
Same.
I have one that I wear rarely.
I love a good fleece. Replace the sweater as far as I'm concerned. Like I have sweaters in my drawer if I need them in an emergency situation. If I attend a holiday sing-along and there are chestnuts roasting, I have a sweater I can go to. But I'm never pulling that sucker out, other than for those reasons. But it was a lovely Father's Day. Hope you all had a great Father's Day. The next big holiday to look forward to is the 4th of July. And we'll talk about that as that nears. Lots of good stuff going on. I have a great show tonight, too, by the way. I have two really, really solid guests. I love both these guys. Love the work they do, I should say. Piet Levy for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He's the music critic, music reporter. He's going to jump on tonight at like 7:35. We'll talk Summerfest and just about the music scene in Milwaukee and Wisconsin overall. It'll be fun to talk to Piet about that. I've really enjoyed reading him over the years and thrilled that he's on the show. And then at 8:20, my buddy Frank Thompson will join me. He's a TV and film writer, also a book writer. He wrote a book about the Alamo that was critically acclaimed. And he probably knows more about the Alamo than people who were actually at the Alamo. I don't know how that's possible, but if anyone does, it could be Frank. He and I also wrote on, you know, when you're a writer, you have the things you're really proud of that you've done in your career. And then you have shows like the one Frank and I worked on, and we'll talk about that. He's also a Bob and Ray expert, and we'll talk a little bit about Bob and Ray tonight. Bob and Ray were a comedy duo in radio, and they did these hilarious bits. Bob Elliott is Chris Elliott's father, and Bob and Ray were comedic geniuses for their time, and their stuff, in my opinion, holds up. But I'll ask Frank what he thinks. We'll play a couple clips. We'll have that discussion. That'll be fun. That's at 8:20. Today is... Did you see what I put on the sheet, Conrad?
Yeah.
It's National Eat Your Vegetables Day.
Did you eat any vegetables yet?
I did. I had actually two avocados today.
Oh, no, that's a great vegetable.
I'm turning it around. You know what? I saw the stream. We stopped in to see my mother-in-law on Saturday. She likes to watch the show, and she watches it on YouTube. So we pulled up a rerun, one of the podcast episodes from Friday, and I saw myself. And the major times in my adult life when I've gotten in shape is after seeing myself on TV or on tape or something. And Friday or Saturday was a revelation. It's time to turn it around. I will be a lean, mean fighting machine by next weekend.
That's a quick turnaround.
Extreme diet, here I come. I'm all about. No, you just have those moments where it's like, all right, I gotta get in shape. Like I'm, you know, especially you're doing radio. You think, oh, it's radio. No. There's a stream every night. My huge head is visible to many. So that was kind of good, though. It's good to have those times where you go, you know, I gotta start taking better care of myself. So that's what I'm gonna do. So I had two avocados today. Those were my vegetables. What about you? Did you eat a vegetable?
You know, actually, today I'm fasting again.
Yeah,
so
same, dude.
I don't eat until 3, you know, around there.
Okay.
But I had just a bunch of protein, no vegetables.
Wow.
But all when right. I get home, I'm gonna have a chicken burger with mushrooms.
Chicken burger with mushrooms. So you ate at 3. You're gonna eat again later, and then not again until 3.
Yeah.
What is that, like an 18 or 16?
Yeah, it's an 18-hour.
18-hour.
But I need to drink a lot more water. That's the thing that gets me is not drinking enough water.
You still got to get some vegetables in there, dude.
So my favorite is mushrooms.
Mushrooms.
Okay. I love mushrooms. Any type of way, I will eat it.
Okay. I have, and I'm doing the fasting too. This is funny. We didn't even compare notes.
I'm doing
keto with fasting. That's what I'm going to do. It's going to be insane. I am going to be the crabbiest person in the world for the first week. I'm just warning you, Conrad.
Oh, great.
There'll be a lot of memos. No, but I had these salmon patties that I get from Costco. And I smother them with avocado and some Old Bay seasoning. And it's like, thank you.
I actually think I have the same ones in my freezer.
Really? They're good, aren't they?
I love the salmon. Yeah, so good.
Easy to make. You pop them in the air fryer. You have an air fryer?
Yep.
You got to, okay. If you do not have an air fryer, folks, it has changed my life. It's the best way to make chicken, salmon patties or salmon. You can do almost anything. And vegetables, too, frankly. It's great. So, well, that's exciting. Maybe we'll do a fasting thing tomorrow on the show.
There we go.
And if you guys fast, you're welcome to share your fasting stories with us. But our question tonight, since it's National Vegetable Day, National Eat Your Vegetable Day, what is your favorite vegetable and what is your least favorite vegetable? Share those with us, please. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. You have no excuse not to text, folks. The contest is over. It was a huge success. Thank you so much for your participation, by the way. It was really tripled, I think is what they said, the results of the last contest in terms of entries. So people really got into it. We'll do another one soon. But there are no keywords. So the question is, what is your favorite vegetable? What is your least favorite vegetable? That is tonight's question. You can write in on the stream, off the app. Just click text. We're on statewide, so you can go to any of the stations and just click the text icon. Or you can just text us old school at 855-752-4842. Stacy Sue checking in on the stream says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Hello, Stacy Sue. Sherry says, hi, Pete and Conrad. Silent J checking in. Silent J, how are you, buddy? Every once in a while, you remember when Silent J was here, Conrad?
Yeah.
He and Ed the Diver were here.
Yep.
And that was one of the nights you weren't on vacation on that 4.5 month long trip.
No, I was here. I was here.
Well, yeah, I kind of paused there. I was like, you were here. I knew you were here.
On that 3 month vacation.
Silent J is a good dude. My Marinette homeboy checking in. Good to see you, buddy. Thanks for listening. And Ed is doing some great stuff. I don't think there's a piece of garbage left in the state between the work that Ed the Diver and Silent J do. I open up Facebook, they're just everywhere. And you know what? I saw a little garbage around the studio. I just wish only, apparently they only do waterways. But anyway, they're doing great work. Good to see you, Silent J. Sherry says, favorite is corn on the cob. Least is broccoli. Okay. I think a lot of people would join you for the broccoli thing, Sherry. And corn on the cob, too. That's probably most people's favorite. I like to slather it in butter. I don't know how healthy it is for me. And I do like broccoli. I like roasted broccoli.
Broccoli's really good.
Yeah, I'll eat that. Not when I was a kid. And some people never grow out of that. But thank you for chiming in, Sherry. Today is also, Conrad, if you would.
It is Garbage Man Day.
Garbage Man Day. So here's my story. When I was a freshman in college, after my freshman year, I went back to Marinette. I went to DePaul University in Chicago. Went back to Marinette for the summer, got a job with the city. Have I told this story before on the show?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So they hired me and another girl who was also a college student named Lori to survey streets. All we had to do was measure the streets for the city planner and turn in our results. So here I am, gung-ho, young whippersnapper. Lori, too, we're measuring the streets. We finished the gig in like a week and a half that was supposed to take all summer. And that was really stupid because they put me on a garbage truck after that. They didn't know what to do with me. You know, they were budgeted for the whole summer. So the guy who was in charge at City Hall in Marinette, Mike, said, oh, I'll put you on a garbage truck. You know, these guys can take vacations, whatever. Listen, folks, tip your garbage people. You know, it's horrible work. And to this day, if I see bad milk or bad meat, I want to vomit. It's so bad. Now, on the other hand, one time we got to put a couch back there and watch that big hydraulic arm just come down and snap it in two. That was pretty sweet. So it had its perks. But it's miserable work. And the hot sun, flies, just awful. Garbage Man Day. For all you garbage men out there, the working man, the working woman, I salute you because that is not easy work. All right. Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel will be here at 7:35 talking Summerfest, Wisconsin festivals, Wisconsin music scene. That'll be fun. And coming up next, I have a really funny clip that I'm going to play from the Roseanne show. It's Laurie Metcalf's birthday today, and this is one of my favorite scenes in sitcom history. And that's coming up next on Nightlight with Pete Schwab. It's so great to have you with me on the Civic Media Radio Network. So, the text line, Tori from Kewaunee says, do you know how to pronounce that word?
I'm not sure.
Kohlrabi?
That sounds right to me.
Okay. Tori, you're welcome to correct us phonetically, if you would, please. Kohlrabi is my favorite. Beets are my least favorite. I don't disagree with that. Beets are not tasty, but man, they're a superfood. If you can muscle them down, Tori, I recommend it. But yeah, I'm with you. Anna from the 608 says, hi, Pete and Conrad. My favorite vegetable is broccoli. My least favorite is asparagus.
I agree with that. I hate asparagus. You know, I can't get it down.
I like it, but it's tough. You got to do it. It's so hard because sometimes the stems are so hard. And it's not tasty when that's the case. But when it's like kind of wilty and sautéed, I like it. Tom from New Berlin from the 414 says, love peas, raw, canned. Love peas, raw, canned, suck to each their own. I think there's a typo in there. I'm not sure. I like peas too, though. I love peas. All the stuff I didn't like as a kid, I just kind of mysteriously started liking when I became an adult. And peas are excellent for you. From the 608, Ross from Crawford County says, favorite, potatoes. Least favorite, raw Brussels sprouts. Dear God. Ross, why on earth would you, have you eaten a raw Brussels sprout? Like I cook them, put some garlic on them. They're great. A little olive oil or avocado oil. Yeah, raw Brussels sprout. That's my least favorite too. Paula, Conrad's mom checking in. I do not like Brussels sprouts, which I have tried many different ways. My favorite is also mushrooms. Is that about the sweetest thing you've ever heard, Conrad? That's pretty cool.
My mom used to make stuffed mushrooms.
Ooh, those are good. Yeah. What did she put in them?
A bunch of stuff. I don't even
know.
Other
mushrooms?
It was just good.
Steve, the 920, Steve checks in and says, top three. Oh, I love that he ranked them. One, corn on the cob with real butter and sea salt. Yes, sea salt. Oh, that's the money right there. Broccoli and melted Wisconsin cheddar. Cannot do broccoli with cheese. Weird. I love broccoli.
Really?
But I can't do it with cheese. Yeah. It compromises the broccoli for me.
You like the broccoli flavor too much.
I do. I like broccoli and garlic or whatever, but I'm in the minority. That Steve's, I mean, that's how most people like it, I think. Buttery green beans and hot milk. Worst vegetable is lima beans. Yeah, I could see that. Buttery greens and hot milk. Is that a Krieger family thing? I've never had that.
I've never tried that. I don't
okay. Know. I think your dad's going to have something ready for you next time he sees you.
I think so.
Anna from the 608 says, Laurie Metcalf was great in Lady Bird. Yes, she is. She is a great actor. She's from the Steppenwolf Theater. Anna, you just helped me segue into our next bit because I do want to play this. Laurie Metcalf is a Chicago actress. She was part of the Steppenwolf Theater. She was on Roseanne. She played Jackie, Roseanne's sister. And she's kind of, I don't know, she has this like, she can have this like crazy look sometimes that is very endearing, but she's so funny. And her character, she was like this perennially single character. She dated the actor Michael O'Keefe, played a guy she dated long term on the show. And this is a scene from the two of them feeling each other out. And, you know, you get your the person you're dating, you kind of delve into their past and find out more about their past. And this is a great scene. The sound is not great, but I chose to play it anyway because I think you'll be able to make it out. And it's so funny, and it's only like a minute long. Conrad, if you please.
How many men did you date before we met?
Well, you mean dated at all or dated seriously?
I mean seriously.
Okay, I have to say just a few.
Good. It's not that I mind if you slept with a lot of guys.
Well, slept with. I'd say three a year.
Since you were, what, 18?
Okay, we'll go with that. Well, Fred, that's not that many. Three a year for 20 years is 60.
God, I don't even know 60 people.
That's so great. Three a year for 20 years, it's 60 people. I don't even think I know 60 people. I didn't know them all. Beautiful. She's very funny, very talented. And I agree, Anna. She was great in Lady Bird, which I have to admit, I watched as I was, I need to give that movie a better watch because I was sort of, it was one of those that nights I started something late and I was kind of drifting off. I did that just the other night too. I started watching this show, Bodies. Have you seen that show, Conrad?
No.
It's like a murder mystery. Actually, it was funny. I said to my wife, I said, I started watching a new show last night. She says, what is it? And I said, it's a show called Bodies. She goes, huh, what's it about? And I go, it's a bunch of teenagers on spring break. And she's like, huh. Like, I thought she'd give me a look or something. She just goes, huh. Either like, oh, that sounds like you, or can I watch it with you? Like, she wasn't even like, or she just tuned me out. That's very possible too. But it's kind of cool. They jump around time-wise. It's the same murder that's happened in different generations. I'm not totally into it. I'm going to give it another episode. It's kind of hard to follow, but interesting to say the least. Stacy Sue on the stream says, favorite vegetable, corn on the cob and fresh peas, least celery and green peppers. Interesting. Sherry says, it's great in an air fryer. Talking about corn on the cob, Sherry? She must be. Oh, asparagus. Yeah, that would be good. Not for Conrad, though, because he doesn't like asparagus under any circumstances.
Yes.
So let's see. Do we have time for a Bob and Ray clip? I don't. Do we have? How are we doing?
No, not. We
Even that short, that McBeebe one?
Yeah.
You think we can squeeze that in?
No.
No? You're supposed to be a magician with time, Connor. You're supposed to be able to stop the hands of time.
I'm sorry.
Fair enough. Hey, we got to... This was like the thing I was going to lead with tonight, and I got totally sidetracked thinking of my Garbage Man days. Inside Out 2 crushed the box office. Like last week, people were saying Bad Boys 4, Ride or Die, brought back the summer box office because it opened with $56 million. And that's by far the biggest opening of all of this summer. Inside Out 2 was supposed to surpass that. And it did. It opened with like $155 million at the box office. Almost tripled Bad Boys. And then it pulled in like another $140 million worldwide in just 38 markets. It's got a lot of other countries it's going to open in. But it's pulled in $295 million in about 4 days. And now I feel bad. I did not even see Inside Out 1. That is pronto I'm going to watch that. Did you watch the first one?
I've never seen it, no.
They're supposed to be incredible. Really heady, kind of intellectual, despite the fact that they're like Pixar films. But I still haven't seen Bad Boys 4. I'm not dying to see that, but I will. But now Inside Out 2, I've got to watch the first one, and then I got to watch this one. And that is my vow to you. I will do it by the weekend. We will talk about this because I don't think that film's going anywhere. Okay. Piet Levy is coming up next on Nightlight. We're going to talk Summerfest and the Wisconsin music scene. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. Great to have you with me on a Monday night on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwab, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who always looks ahead, even when parallel parking, Pete Schwab.
Welcome back. You want to hear something funny? I just asked Conrad, I said, have you seen my glasses? He goes, yeah, they're on your head. I do that all the time. But here's what the other day I was having an allergic reaction to something, and I go over to splash water in my eye, and I'm wearing my readers. So I'm splashing water at my reader. Reader, singular. These things cost me $2, too. I don't like to mess around. Okay, so Frank Thompson coming up at 8:20. We're going to hear some Bob and Ray clips. That'll be fun. Talk some TV writing. Right now, I'm really excited to have this next guest on. We just reconnected. I've known him for a long time, but sporadically over the years, we've talked intermittently. And it is just so great to have him on the show. I've wanted to have him on for a while. He is the music reporter and music critic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Piet Levy. Piet, how are you?
Hey, Pete. Great. Good to connect with you again. Yeah, I don't know if you remember, we first met when you brought the Godfather of Green Bay to Milwaukee.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
I do. That was one of the highlights of that whole process because it was so fun to have the film playing at the Oriental. And I think you and I sat down. Was it Major Goolsby's?
It was. You remember correctly. It was at Major Goolsby's. And I was an intern at the time at the Journal. And
oh, wow.
I had a good like kicker because I think – I'm paraphrasing, but I think I wrote like that. Your film was the most dangerous film at the film festival because you're a Bears fan.
Oh, and, yeah.
something like that. Like you dare to have this movie that like, you know, from like a Bears fan perspective, and you were determined to just stand by the Bears.
I paid for it too. There was a critic in Milwaukee who was not very nice to me personally, which I thought was weird, but the other two in Milwaukee were great, and it was a really fun experience. And I was glad to have met you because I didn't realize you were an intern. But, my character in the film takes a lot of abuse for being a Bear
right,
fan,
exactly.
too.
Yeah, exactly. So I was like playing with that. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was fun. And then I think I had you on when I was at a different station a while back. Yeah. But anyway, either way, it's great to be back in touch. And are you a native Wisconsinite?
I am not. No, I'm a Dallas, Texas native, actually. I mean, first memories as a kid, we lived in the Milwaukee area for a bit till I was about like 8, then went back to Dallas, and then really wanted to get back to the Midwest. So for college, I was in Chicago, Loyola, and Northwestern.
Oh, wow.
I was an intern at the Journal Sentinel in 2005. Loved it. Was dreaming. It was, dreaming of kind of going back there. And then I did some freelancing for them when I was kind of bouncing around at other jobs. And then 2012, it became the opening for a music writer. And very, very lucky to get it. So I've been a full-time music writer now at the Journal Sentinel since summer 2012.
Oh, that is fantastic. Good for you, man. You do great work there. And
thanks.
Yeah, and I'm sure you obviously like being in Wisconsin. You've been here a long time. So I want to ask you about kind of the scene here in Wisconsin and in Milwaukee. But if you don't mind, I'd like to jump into Summerfest first, which is right around the corner here.
Definitely.
Can you give us just kind of an overview of what this year's lineup is like, how it matches up to other summers? It looks like there's some great acts.
Yeah, I think it's, I wrote an article to JS Online. I'm going to go ahead and plug it with kind of a picks for the year. I do this every year where I break down, it's a total of 27 must-see acts.
Yeah.
And I have three a day. And I do headliners. I do discoveries each day. And I do a local act each day that people should check out. And in my intro for the story, I wrote it's year 56 or 66th anniversary. When you look at the lineup from afar, it looks like a typical Summerfest lineup with kind of something for everyone, which is very rare. But that's kind of that's Summerfest's charm, is that you could have, SZA, and you could have REO Speedwagon. Those are two acts that would not play at the same festival pretty much anywhere else on the planet, but they'll do it at Summerfest, because Summerfest really tries to cater to pretty much everybody. So if you look at it, it looks like a typical Summerfest lineup. Maybe it doesn't necessarily jump out at people, but then I think if you look closely, in my opinion, I think it's a really exciting lineup, not necessarily for the big names, although I think there are some really great big names there. But if you look closely, there's been some weak spots in the lineup kind of year after year, here and there, or inconsistencies. And I think this year is really a big step forward. In past years, there's been kind of a sprinkling of Spanish language artists, and they might have a Latin music day. Last year, they had a really exciting Mexican rapper and singer-songwriter named Santa Fe Clon, and he played for a huge crowd, and I've written this is something that Summerfest needs more of. Latin music is just exploding around the country, and Summerfest is really lagging behind. And this year, there's multiple Spanish language acts. It's really exciting to see. There's also a really exciting hip hop scene in Milwaukee that's getting a lot of national attention. People are championing it from Pitchfork, from the New York Times, from Rolling Stone, and at the same time, these rappers who are doing really creative, innovative, really wild stuff that you're not hearing in really any other scene. And they're getting, acknowledged for that. And they're getting lots of streams, but they aren't necessarily playing a lot of big shows in town still. And that's really starting to change, because at Summerfest, there are multiple rappers from that scene that have some really great slots and some headliner slots, including two rappers that are going to open for Lil Uzi Vert. That's the big rap booking that they're playing the last night. And you've got two local rappers, JP and 414 Big Frank, opening for them. So that's really exciting. So I think if you look closely, I think it's a really, really exciting lineup with some good stuff in the afternoon, a good diversity of stuff at night. And it does feel even more diverse in a lot of ways. There's going to be a K-pop artist there. We haven't had K-pop kind of once ever. And this year I'll have a K-pop artist. Ohio is a K-pop veteran. Playing... I gotta see what date it is. It's at the Aurora Pavilion. It's a 7 o'clock show. I know it's June, but again, there's 600 acts in 9 days. So let me see if I can jog my memory.
Oh, it's okay.
Scroll.
It's been
June 28th.
Okay.
At the Aurora Pavilion. But it's great. I mean, again, K-pop exploding. Milwaukee is kind of overlooked in the K-pop world. K-pop artists typically play huge markets, even though it's very popular everywhere. So to have a K-pop artist play the festival, this is the first time since, I think 2000, 2015, there was a K-pop band that opened for Lady Gaga. That was just part of that tour, kind of before K-pop was really exploding.
Yeah.
And we haven't had that at the festival since. So the fact that there's K-pop in the lineup, it is one artist, but it's something, you know, and it's something we haven't seen really. So I think when you look closely like that, there's a lot to be very, very excited about. And it does feel in some ways like kind of a fresh summer fest in that regard.
My guest is Piet Levy. He is the music critic and writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He joins us here tonight on Nightlight. We're talking about Summerfest. I will admit, I didn't know what K-pop was until a couple of years ago. And then during all the NFL games, they were playing that song by BTS on all those cell phone commercials. Dynamite.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I must have listened. I'm like, what is this? It had a very 70s kind of cool Michael Jackson-y sound almost. And I don't know, every once in a while you just find something and it resonates for whatever reason, you know, it's kind of funny.
Yeah, absolutely. It's taken over, you know, it's taken over in so many ways. It's so popular, but it just hasn't really, you know, this is like one of the world's most diverse, largest music festivals. And it was missing from the lineup.
Yeah.
So it's really kudos to them because I feel like there are some inroads they're making to like make up for those gaps that I thought were kind of lacking.
Absolutely. One of the cool things I think is when you get a little older, like I remember in the 80s hearing the Little River Band, and in the 90s, the Gin Blossoms, they had that one album. I loved every single song on it. And, you know, they're not even playing the huge stages anymore. Like you can go get kind of an intimate show almost, even though it's outdoors. Summerfest seems to have a lot of bands like that this year.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think that's also what makes it such an exciting festival. Is, you know, a lot of festivals are really expensive and you know, they might have more like, quote, hipper bands. So you're kind of paying that premium. But, you know, a general admission ticket is 28. They've had these different promos you can do. There's like 14 different promos throughout the festival. So you could theoretically get in for free and you kind of like jump around. Yeah, so like Gin Blossoms are playing, I think they're playing opening night, June 20th.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see Gin Blossoms, and then you can also see like a great Milwaukee singer-songwriter like Trapper Shep. Three Dog Night is playing that night. Brittany Howard, an amazing artist at the BMO Pavilions that night. That's a night with a couple of the Spanish language artists, Kevin Carl and Latin Mafia. They're playing at Miller Lite Oasis. I mean, it's just really cool that you could, you know, for 28 or potentially free, you can really kind of bounce around, discover things, see a lot of different kind of headliners. And it is such a weird and a strange but kind of exciting variety of stuff, you know. And there, you know, there's five people who are like, maybe I wouldn't pay a hard ticket for Gin Blossoms anymore, but it's like,
right,
I would love to see Gin Blossoms for a Summerfest ticket, and I can go see some other stuff. And yeah, so there's plenty of that. I mean, you know, whether you're going for nostalgia, whether you're going for discovery, whether you're going to discover new stuff, yeah, there's just a lot of variety. And again, it feels even a little more varied this year than I would say in some previous years too, which is exciting to see.
Yeah, and it's nice too. It's not as frantic as when it was like 11 or 10 days in a row. Like now, we just posted Piet's article on the stream if you guys want to read it. It's really great. And what I like about that, Piet, is like you have your three acts and then one act to see and all this kind of stuff you have in the article. People can read that and still make their plans for the following weekend or see who's there, you know, and read your articles to get some guidance, which is great. So check out that on the stream, folks, if you're listening. Is it still the biggest music festival in the world?
I don't think it's the biggest in the world. I do know it's still one of the biggest in America. So I think I've been kind of, you know, calling it one of America's largest, music festivals. I mean, you know, when you add everybody coming in, It definitely is, you know, it's huge in terms of population size, even compared with like a Coachella. And obviously there's other festivals that get more national name recognition, like a Coachella, like a Lollapalooza, like a Bonnaroo. But yeah, it's still definitely one of the biggest in the world by far.
Do you look forward to this? Like you obviously, you're writing these articles, you must be out there almost every day, or is it something you kind of can't wait till it's over so you can see your kids again? How does that work?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, it's a struggle, especially with the kids. And, you know, my wife will say, like, back when it was, you were talking about the format now where it's three weekends, three-day weekends. I mean, there was a time where our kids were really little. We have three kids. And Aiden, Ava, and Mia, shout out to all of them.
Nice.
Aiden's now 13. Ava and Mia are 11. But when they were really, really little, Summerfest was 11 days. With like a day off in between. and I was there every day. And, you know, definitely a big hats off and shout out to my wife, Christy, for you know, this, the extreme hardship of life at that time, especially with me gone so many nights. But yeah, I mean, that's the job. That's the requirement of the job. It's like, this is kind of like our, you know, I'm grateful that there is music coverage at the Journal Sentinel. It's not a guarantee at every outlet, but Starfest is like kind of the big thing we do every year. It's like, Jim Higgins, a colleague, did an article where he interviewed me about our coverage, and he likened it to kind of like our Super Bowl in terms of the features department of the Journal Sentinel, because it is such a big, big event, and a lot of people get involved, and there's just a lot of coverage, but there's also a lot of interest because it is such a huge event. So, yeah, back when it was the 11 days, that was very, very exhausting, and especially with young kids, but more exhausting for my wife, I'm sure. And I am very grateful that it's the 3 weekends. I just think, I know a lot of people really love the 11-day format.
Yeah.
And I'm not one of those people that's in the, you know, I wish it was still 11 days camp. I think the 3 weekends is the way to go. I think it's good to have the breaks and the breathers.
Let it breathe.
And their whole argument is, I mean, you know, I think there's some cost savings there for sure. And then they have more weekends to work with in terms of bookings. If there's artists that are going out for weekends, they have 3 weekends to work with instead of two. So that's been their argument. It's not going to change. I mean, it's not going to change back, you know. So, you know, I think for nostalgic reasons, I guess it does make sense that it's sad those days are gone. But logistically, I think from an operations standpoint, from a coverage standpoint, this new way, the newer way makes a lot more sense.
You kind of remind me of, like, we're in similar professions, and I guess that we love what we do. I remember when I was a comedian or had to go to some function where I'm also having a blast and my wife is at home with the kids or is teaching school during the day, you know, and I'm like, sorry, honey, it's work. We'll have more with Piet Levy coming up next on Nightlight with Peach Wabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. Some K-pop for you. Welcome back. We are talking with Piet Levy from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about Summerfest, which opens this week on June 20th, just a few days away. Piet, what would you say about the music scene in Wisconsin? Is it strong? Is it thriving? You talked about Milwaukee acts and how there's some great rap acts in Milwaukee. Overall, what do you think the climate is like?
I think it's the creativity and the talent is just, it always impresses me. I feel like every year when I do my roundups of, you know, best local albums and local songs of the year, I mean, I'm very Milwaukee focused. I'll still look beyond Milwaukee across the state. But when I look at Milwaukee specifically, I'm just so impressed every year. And you know, nationally, the hip hop scene is getting a ton of really exciting attention. There's definitely a lot of heat on that scene right now. Mm-hmm. But there's just so many great artists, whether it's, you know, there's, I was talking about Spanish language acts and the growth of Spanish language acts at Summerfest and just in the market in Milwaukee and other markets. There's a regional Mexican band called Clon 414. Awesome. Just an incredible band with just like, you know, it feels very kind of just so romantic and so grandiose in their music, but also feels so intimate. And it's just so beautiful. They're playing at Summerfest too. They're going to be July 6th. They're opening for an artist that's blowing up right now named Ivan Cornejo. He's like the end of the night headliner on the BMO Pavilion stage. Clown 414 will play for them before them at 5:30. And so whether it's that or it's singer-songwriters or ska bands, like Something to Do, that's also my recommended list, electronic artists, you know, reggaeton artists, it's all over the place. And there's just such great talent and such great music. And it's really, that's probably one of the hardest parts of my job is just trying to keep up on everything. Cause there's just so much music coming out of just Milwaukee. Just because I think we're, you know, thanks to technology, I mean, it's easier than ever to make music. It's easier than ever to distribute music. And you know, artists are just, and it's just coming out at crazy rates, and influence from other artists, whether it's locally or internationally, nationally. And this, the scene is just massive because so many of those barriers that had been in place, even more so like when I was starting this job in 2012, like they're just gone. And, you know, that's very exciting because there's so much stuff. Not all of it's like amazing, but some of it is really, really amazing and probably would have been harder for those artists to maybe get it out into the world, you know, 10 years ago, yeah. 20 years ago. So it's a very exciting time to cover music. I feel very, very lucky.
That's so cool. What are some of the most memorable performances you've covered or seen just at Summerfest?
Oh man, I gotta think. I mean, let's see. Well, I know like last year there was a Zach Bryan show that was really, really exciting, and that's kind of what some of the memories that stand out to me at Summerfest are like when you have an artist who is really at their prime playing at Summerfest, and there's like an electricity kind of in the yeah. amphitheater on the stage. You know, in the audience, it's new for the artists too. So they're kind of experiencing this like insane real time, energy from a huge crowd that's like really into them and really into their music. And you see it in the way they react like, oh my God, I can't believe this is happening. And that Zach Bryan show at Summerfest last year really felt like that. It really felt like a lightning in a bottle kind of night. I would say the same thing for, Billie Eilish. She headlined the amphitheater in 2019.
Oh, wow.
That's definitely one of the best ones I saw there. Yeah, and so when she was announced, that was really interesting because she was announced before her debut album came out. And there are people in the newsroom, people that email me like, who's Billie Eilish? Like, who is this person? Like, no one knew who Billie Eilish was. And people that did know were like, at that point, she was just doing theaters. And so like, this seems insane. Like, why is she playing the amphitheater? Like, you know, it's insane. But then when it went on sale, I think, you know, a week or two after that album came out, and that show sold out like so fast. And that was her very first festival headlining show anywhere. I mean, she did Coachella that year, like an earlier slot, but she had never headlined a festival before. And so being in that full amphitheater, first time she's ever headlined a festival, I mean, the energy in that amphitheater was just insane. Again, it was like a lightning in a bottle kind of moment. So when those things happen there, unbelievable. And there's still like, you know, some of the guests that they've gotten there are just really just shocking. You know, the Rolling Stones obviously comes top of mind in 2015. That's one I'll never forget because I can't believe that they pulled that off still. And it's been years since then. But I mean, that was a tour where they were playing stadiums. This was by far the smallest venue they were playing. They were doing like football stadiums. And they played the 23,000 capacity amphitheater. They weren't doing Chicago on that tour. They skipped Chicago.
I remember that.
And they still did the Summerfest amphitheater.
Wow.
Insane. I mean, I watching it as I saw it, and they were really great that night. And Mick Jagger was especially great that night. And just watching it, it's like, I can't believe I'm seeing this here. This is insane. And that definitely, you know, that goes down in like festival history and city history. It's just like a show that will never be forgotten. That was a really, really special one. There's been a lot of great stuff there. I mean, it is a real privilege. It can be exhausting for sure.
Yeah.
Covering it, but it's a real privilege to be able to cover it because it really means a lot to a lot of people. And there's a lot of remember when kind of moments there and, you know, memories that are just kind of, you know, if the show is really good, if the context is really important or whatever, you know, the case might be, it just becomes like a permanent part of so many people's memories and of city history in a lot of ways, and certainly the city's music history. So it's a real privilege to, you know, and pleasure to cover the festival. It's not everything's always great. And there's definitely, it can definitely be a bear, and there's some terrible stuff there too every year. But, you know, there's when things are really on fire, when things are really great, it can be really great.
You have like, I love that you're, well, I love that you're on the show just because I like the work you do, but the passion that you are talking about all of this, it's just, you are totally doing what you were meant to do. It comes across in your voice. It's just so great to hear that. Can you hang around for a couple minutes after the news? Do you mind if we keep you for, I want to talk to you because locally, okay. here's a great talk about value. In 1987, I was dragged to a U2 concert, I didn't feel like going out. I was in my dorm room and a friend of mine had U2 tickets, $20. The openers were the Bodines, who had just won the Rolling Stone Album of the Year Award or something like that. And it turned out to be one of the greatest nights of my life. And down the road, I met the Bodines. And as, I don't know if you remember, they did the music for The Godfather of Green Bay. And for $20, Piet, you two and the Bodines. How do you like that?
That's insane. That's what a deal. All right.
Piet's going to stick around for a few more minutes. I want to ask him what he's taking his kids to at the theater, too, because there are kids' films that are flooding the theaters and doing the only films that are doing really well this summer. But and we'll maybe talk about the Bodines at Summerfest, too. That's next on Nightlight with Piet Levieux. I'm Peach Wabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. The grand facade, so sweet.